Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Pablo Zabaleta.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Kevin Phillips.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. Look, I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios keep us on the road. This independent podcast simply wouldn't happen without them. Please head to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now. Join us, become a socio, a member, and you'll get extra big interview content every month, plus lots of bonuses. We need you. We can't do this without you. Well, look, I guess the message for Spain is don't bring Cristiano Ronaldo's tax case to trial immediately before facing Portugal. What an experience. I guess everybody's listening to the Big Inside View was watching Portugal 3, Spain 3, and it's at times like this when it's impossible not to admit publicly the privilege of doing the job I do, whereby from Krasnodar in the south of Russia, a 40-minute flight took me down to Sochi for this match. We flew, just because of the way our work goes, we flew with the team. It kind of, I like the little poetic images because it took a little turn towards this result with the last minute equaliser from Cristiano Ronaldo on arrival, because the plane took two shots at landing. In fact, the plane coming down was, you know, well into its landing trajectory when it pulled up, and I have no idea why, but it did. And then on arrival at the stadium later that day, the bus pulls up into the tunnel in Sochi's Fish Stadium, and Fernando Hierro, who can be forgiven after a busy couple of days, as you might have noticed, gets out of the bus and heads into the wrong room instead of going around the front of the bus and left towards the Spain dressing room. He jumps off and heads down a tunnel that's not really the right way to go at all. And those little images of it just not being quite right for Spain end up with David De Gea having a difficult night.
Ronaldo, but the shot, oh, it's coming! An error from David De Gea, and Cristiano Ronaldo gets Portugal's second goal of the night, his second goal of the night, and very much against the run of play, Portugal are back in front.
Not just the goal that he lets in, but in the two moments where it looked as if his either his fears about the ball, which he's talked about, that he doesn't particularly enjoy the way that it moves. He blames himself for not getting his knee down quickly enough for the goal. But nonetheless, it did look like one of those moments that he will find it difficult to forget, his second in three games, after the way that unusual way that he handled the Switzerland goal in the Madrigal. So therefore, the image of things not being quite absolutely 100% for Spain started off on landing, but then changed completely. I want to share with you the absolute gorgeous beauty of Sochi Stadium, the setting for this match. And it was interesting to me because it so reminded me of Durban, the place in which the Spain World Cup win of 2010 began, with that pretty embarrassing and very costly 1-0 defeat against Switzerland. I say costly because it set the Spain camp into a pretty hostile reaction to the way in which the Spanish media criticised the coach, the team selection, the use of Sergio Busquets. And in the end, it led to two really tense games against Honduras and Chile to get out. And therefore, I don't know, I had a small premonition looking at the Sochi Stadium, which is so reminiscent of the one in Durban in its architecture, But it's also right on the water, just as Durban was too. And it's an utterly, utterly beautiful stadium. Really well designed, very modern, unusual shape. I bet it made good TV. I didn't have a monitor at the game, so I'm guessing there. But the atmosphere was superb. The way in which the people run the stadium, whether it be security or directions or how you get around behind the scenes, absolutely fabulous. And as such, the training sessions went off without too many hitches and really without too many indications about whether it would be Rodrigo or Diego Costa starting. But I must admit, I bet on Costa starting simply because I've heard Fernando Hierro speak so well about the Brazilian to turn Spaniard in terms of his physical prowess, his love of a rock. And therefore, I thought that he would win the place over Rodrigo, although Aspas is the guy that I still think can be the player to do special things in this tournament. Nonetheless, I'm pleased to say that pretty much I got the team right from training, but there weren't very many clues there. What we did see immediately in training on the night before this glorious 3-3 draw game was the mood. And it absolutely leapt out at you. They invented a new game where you're jogging around. All the Spain players were jogging around. And on a given shout, you have to sort of clasp each other in groups of four. And if you're in a group of two or three, it's a species of pass the parcel or whatever. But if you're not in a group of four, then you're in trouble and you've lost the drill. And it was, you know, there was a total mix of every grab everybody. So it was Barca players, Madrid players, Valencia players. Didn't matter a hoot. It was grab or you're out. And there was so much laughter. And there was a really good moment when Sergio Ramos had really pinged Dani Carvajal's ear from behind his head. And Carvajal said something to him and set off running. And Ramos gave chase and booted him. Bishop Brennan, is it Len? Len Brennan? Anyway, he did a Father Crilly putting Bishop Brennan up the arse. And the laughter dominated in the part of the session that we were allowed to see. The laughter, absolutely, you know, and smiles. And you knew that this was a squad that, I think when Neil and I spoke earlier in the week, we were commenting on the fact that although Lopetegui departing was an unwanted distraction, although certain players in the squad definitely will miss him because they had a very close and sort of long-lasting relationship with him. This is a squad that has got its head on straight and that knows what it's here for. And it's got a bit of a self-cleaning oven feel to it. I'm not certain how much coaching is needed. Having said all that, the session indicated that there was going to be good spirit in the game, and so it proved. As a little aside, Neil, I know you'd have been asking this question if you were up at 4 o'clock in the morning, as I am here back in Krasnodar, having flown back with the Spain team. And recording this now, partly so that people can get it early in the morning, but also partly because I feel the need to try and live like the players, because I think we all imagine that they just, maybe they're automatons that get pulled out of a cupboard and put on a football pitch, whereas instead the idea of playing like that, or either sitting on the bench like that and getting a sort of Nutella sandwich, which is what some of them were eating, and then a flight home where there were loads of delays, like some players were in doping because it was so humid, they'd sweated out and they couldn't produce, and then they did, and then there was a flight delay, and it's four-ish now in the morning. The players will be just about reaching their residence. They'll be sort of thinking about trying to get some sleep. Some of them probably won't sleep till breakfast time, and on Saturday, there's an 11 a.m. training session here. Anyway, back to the night out, because I know Neil would have been asking how I used my Thursday night. And of course, what I did do was got an Irish bar and then sing until dawn with the rest of my crew, which was very enjoyable indeed. And Sochi is a very attractive place, but humid. The humidity was gigantic, and I had it in mind that one or other team might wilt a little bit in the last stages. And I think that the evidence of your own eyes will tell you that Spain played the better football, had the ball more, and played with tremendous unity and spirit and to react to being 1-0 down at the beginning of the World Cup in such a fashion against such a rival and score three times, I think is of merit. I began to get texts and phone calls from all over the world, friends or contacts right around the world, talking about this as a classic World Cup match. And I think that's evidently true. But it was odd too. There were errors of possession. We've talked about David De Gea already. There were moments when chances went a-begging. There was Isco's thunderbolt shot off the bar, which to the naked eye I thought was in. Technology, if you trust it, has said it wasn't in. There was the penalty decision whereby, again, I just have to be clear that to the naked eye, I thought, nah, that's not. Gerard Piqué after the game said, well, Cristiano does throw himself about a bit and the referees tend to blow the foul. And then Nacho said, well, you know, there was contact. Looking at it again, now that I'm back in Krasnodar, I have to say, I think that Ronaldo was pretty clever, but we'll leave it at that, given the type of work that I do. It's not for me to make controversial comments, but maybe after the World Cup we'll have a word about that one.
Ronaldo. Is that a penalty? It is! And Portugal have the opportunity to take the lead. Cristiano Ronaldo. He's the only Portuguese player to score at three different World Cups. It's 1-0 Portugal, and was there ever any doubt?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then for Diego Costa to score in the way that he did. Again, I've not seen replays. And it was a trick. It was a long ball that it really Portugal should have dealt with in a number of ways.
Pepe gets the header and goes down. Play continues. It's Diego Costa. Can he get the shot away? Costa scores! And while Spain celebrate, Portugal are extremely upset about the manner of that goal.
And I think Costa commits a foul. I don't think there's any doubt about that on Pepe. You'll all be playing the world's smallest violin about Pepe being fouled, but it was a foul and Rocky didn't see it, which is one of the things about the long ball game. How can a referee keep up with that? I have some sympathy with them. But Portugal should have dealt with it, I would have argued. De Gea, you know, took the culpability and said, look, you know, nobody's dead. It's a mistake. Keepers make mistakes. And post-match, I'm talking about the fact that that goal just pre-halftime really was the one that probably, given how they played in the second half, probably nicked a victory away from Spain. Clearly, arithmetic and chronology says that it was Cristiano Ronaldo's absolutely fabulous free kick that actually rescued the draw. But I think the damage that goal did was such that had Spain come out playing the way they did at 1-1, they might well have run away with the game. It wasn't a B. Portugal were smart. Portugal played very well on the break, except for their finishing. There were a couple of instances where Guedes should have reproduced his Valencia form and maybe given Portugal the win. Nonetheless, he didn't. Nacho's goal was funny because I mentioned, because you know that we filmed the green screen in this project that we're in just now, and that green screen allows the presentation of the players up on the big screen in the games or on the TV when, I guess, when there's a goal scored or when the teams are being named, those little graphics of the player faces with the, or the player's body with their arms behind their back, that's something that we have to film. And as part of the filming, you're asked to say to the player, look, do you want to do a funny one as well, a special celebration one, which they do so well in golf. I don't know if you've seen the golf graphics where the player will be, one player will be like putting a pencil behind his ear, another one will be taking off his cap, and they're all doing different things, and it looks really nice. Well, I said to him, actually, let's do a goal celebration as you walk towards the green screen camera. Nope, he said, nope, I don't score.
Now, it might drop for the shot here.
Well, struck it quite nicely, wouldn't you say? Players of the top elite class are dotted around this tournament. I think they'll have a hard job beating that goal. Nacho, my hat is off to you. Cristiano Ronaldo's goal, too, utterly exceptional. Look at how high Piqué jumps already, whatever he's, 6'3", 6'4", I don't know, jumps, you know, as far as he can, and the ball still bends around him and Busquets into the top corner. Utterly sensational goal.
Ronaldo. Oh, genius. Absolute genius.
Backstage, very, very interesting. I spent time interviewing both Nacho and Koke, both really decent guys, happy to talk about the game at length. Happy to stop, which is, you know, not the case with every single footballer, but interesting. And I like particularly what Koke said, which is that there's a unity in this group that was built up under Lopetegui for the last 2 years, and he talked about the harmony, the feeling, the unity, the team spirit, which meant that even going 1-0 down to Cristiano Ronaldo's penalty so early against the European champions and Iberian neighbours, Portugal, meant that they took it as a tiny road bump and weren't thrown at all. I think the evidence of the game backs that idea. And the rest of the evening was spent, as is often the case, running around the stadium, making sure that you're through security, and getting onto the convoy, which is the convoy of police-escorted cars and team coach that screams away from the stadium to Sochi Airport. And then back, one of the doctors, one of the team doctors, a very popular figure, has his birthday on this date. And he reckons as well that it was on this date that Spain lost to Switzerland in Durban. And he said that was a pretty bitter experience as a birthday one. But this was nice because the pilot announced that it was the doctor's, Dr. Cotto's birthday. And the entire plane, including all the players, gave him a huge round of applause and sung happy birthday to him, which is typical of this group. They're a really good bunch. Right across the plane, there were dotted people playing cards, playing chess, playing some sort of Ludo-style game on a big iPad too. The mood was pretty good, I'd have to say. I think that all of them were dead set against losing. And the idea that a 3-2 win was snatched away from them and therefore they should have been pretty down in the dumps somehow wasn't the case. I think the idea of taking a point and having not lost, but above all, it was absolutely clear that patches of that were as good as Spain have played since the Italy game, which they won 3-0, pretty much a sure qualification. There was absolute glowing and quick and crisp football from Silva and from Isco. I thought also, as the game went on, it seemed that Jordi Alba was absolutely flying. And I think across the team, including when Thiago came on, there was a rhythm and an assuredness, and it was very important that Isco found his crisp, intense, quick rhythm and confidence again, and I thought he did. And therefore, it's just a really, really good night of football all around, whether you're a Portugal supporter, Spain supporter, or a neutral. And I want to pick out one thing that really stood out to me, and I kind of anticipated it would happen. For those of you who read my Spain book, I pointed out that against Paraguay, Pepe Reina was absolutely sure which way the penalty taker, I think it was Oscar Cardozo of Benfica. Liverpool and Benfica, I'm pretty sure, had played in the Europa League or Champions League maybe. And Pepe Reina had studied really closely. Cardozo would take his penalties. Shouted from the touchline to Iker Casillas which way to dive. Iker Casillas followed that advice, saved the penalty. And there was a sort of salute across the pitch to the two rivals for the number one spot. Pepe Reina is a big guy. One of you asked me, you know, if I had to take a night out with one of the squad, who would it be? And I said him, because he's a decent guy. He's funny. He's raucous. He's ultra competitive. And I just sort of share a lot of values and ideas with him. And at halftime, having thought about the Karius mistake in Kiev and how few of his players went to support him, went to look after him then, I just knew what Pepe Reina would be doing. At halftime, he's up off the bench, out running towards De Gea, supporting him, giving him encouragement, just kind of, maybe De Gea didn't need it as much as Karius did, but just making sure that De Gea didn't feel isolated, alone, or, you know, that people were shunning him because he'd let them down, something like that. To see Reina doing that at halftime told me a lot about what I expected to see in the second half on the pitch, and lo and behold, it came true. So here we are back in Krasnodar. On Saturday morning, it's 11 o'clock train, as I said. And then potentially Nacho is going to start speaking about the ups and downs of his sort of pretty remarkable career. A guy who deputises across the back four for Real Madrid and stood in for Carvajal, who's now fit. So did Nacho do enough to keep Dani Carvajal out of the team? Did Fernando Hierro enjoy his first night as Spain coach? Brackets, discreet cough, yes. Are Spain good enough to beat Iran and then Morocco and try and top the group? Well, more here. Stay with us, sign up with us. This is the World Cup on the Big Inside View.
I really hope you're enjoying these World Cup shows. We've got huge plans for next season, but we do need your help to make them happen. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter right now to become a socio, a member, to join us, to support us. You'll get an extra big interview every month, plus lots of other bonus content. Last season, our members got 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, and Roberto Di Matteo. So go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Do it now, please.